Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. First up today, we have important breaking news from Normal. Breaking news today from Michigan. Michigan Democratic Party endorses medical marijuana. At their annual state convention, the Michigan Democratic Party endorsed by unanimous acclamation a resolution stipulating in part, quote, that licensed medical doctors should not be criminally punished for recommending the medical use of marijuana to seriously ill people. And seriously ill people should not be subject to criminal sanctions for using marijuana if the patient's physician has told the patient that such use is likely to be beneficial, close quote. The Michigan Normal website stated in part, quote, considering the fact that the Democratic Party controls both the State House of Representatives and the Governor's Office, this exciting development signals a major sea change in the political climate in Michigan and gives much reason to be optimistic that common sense marijuana reform will soon follow in Lansing, close quote. Listeners can view the full text of the resolution on Michigan Normal's website at minorml.org. And we'll also have links at normalaudiostash.com. Joining us today to discuss this news is Tim Beck, the Executive Director of Michigan Normal. Tim, welcome back to the program today.
Glad to be back, as always, Chris.
Tim, this is really big news with the Michigan Democratic Party adopting medical marijuana to their platform. You know, tell us more about what happened here.
We had a very, very extraordinary development this weekend, and that is the Michigan Democratic Party at their state convention in Detroit passed by unanimous consent a resolution supporting medical, the right of a patient and a doctor who was under care of a doctor to use medical marijuana, you know, period. There was no dissenting voices. And, you know, what I'm especially happy about, it was accomplished by Michigan Normal itself. We accomplished this. We pulled it off. And I have to give a lot of credit here to Reverend Steve Thompson. Reverend Steve, a lot of folks know him. He is director of Berrien County Normal, and he was recently appointed assistant you know, executive director, you know, here in Michigan. And Steve, a while back, saw the benefit of going mainstream, and he got involved in his local Democratic Party organization, the Benzie County, you know, Democrats. He got to know people. People warmed up to him, and what happened, it was a very last minute thing, quite surprising, because the state convention was coming up, and all of a sudden the county organization bought into the idea, like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think we need to support medical marijuana. And there were a couple of medical marijuana patients in the Democratic Party organization itself. So I very quickly, it was totally last minute, I went to, you know, the Marijuana Policy Project, and they were able to instantly get me a boilerplate, you know, kind of resolution of endorsement, you know, for medical marijuana. And so I got that to Steve right away, and the county organization passed it unanimously. They sent it up to the congressional district party organization, which is a much bigger, you know, area, multiple counties, etc. It was approved there. It went to the floor of the convention, and it was passed by unanimous consent, acclamation. There was no dissenting voices whatsoever at the convention, and now medical marijuana, support for medical marijuana, is an official part of the Michigan Democratic Party platform, period. Exciting stuff.
And with five cities now voting in favor of marijuana-related ordinances, the Michigan Democratic Party is sort of jumping on the bandwagon here of a popular issue in Michigan.
Well, it is. And I'll tell you what's so interesting about this is that there is such a vast gulf, there is such an enormous disconnect between the public and grassroots people, even in the Democratic Party, because the convention itself is made up of precinct delegates and essentially little people, so to speak, that care about the party and that have been there in the vineyards working for years. And but the elected officials just won't touch them with a 10-foot pole. In fact, we got very sad news. I mean, the governor herself sent a very cold, brutal response to one of our activists that did contact her. We did some letter writing, and she is absolutely, she does not support medical marijuana in any way, shape, or form. She doesn't support industrialized hemp. I mean, it's just brutal. And other elected officials, Republicans and Democrats, they just don't want. It's uncanny. It's eerie. The disconnect, you know, that's going on here in this state. And this thing in Flint, it won by 62% of the vote. It was the only thing, you know, on the ballot, which is a little bit scary because the conventional wisdom suggests that in a low turnout election, that's trouble. Because only your older people, your retirees, your more conservative folks, you know, are the ones that show up at the polls. And we were very nervous. We expected to win, but not by the margin that it did. And it won by 62% of the vote there in the city of Flint.
Tim, we're going to speak at length tomorrow with you in our Government at Work segment about that Flint vote as well. But having medical marijuana part of the Democratic Party platform in the state there, what could this mean for the issue?
Well, it gives it enormous credibility, huge amount of credibility. If we do more local more local ballot initiatives, or if we're able to go statewide, I mean, now the governor is going to have to explain why she is in conflict with her own party, that she's a Democrat, by the way. And any Democratic elected official is going to have to explain, well, excuse me, what's your problem? Why don't you support your own party platform? It's going to put them in a rough position. It's going to make that life, we're going to be able to make life much more difficult for these people that, you know, lack compassion or simply looking out for their own political hide and refuse to do what's right.
So it sounds like the mounting success on the local ordinances there and Michigan Normal's ability to pull resources together quickly really paid off.
And again, I got to congratulate. It wasn't me personally. It was Reverend Steve Thompson that did this. And he's a good man. And he decided, as I say, to go mainstream and to get working, you know, within the local party, you know, organization. And this was the payoff. And so that would, but it was normal, and we had others. We have other normal members that are now, you know, especially in Benzie County. A couple of them are patients, and that was a big help too. That really got the attention, like I said, of the county authorities, and then the people from the state congressional district organization checked it out. And they got the nod that this is legitimate, that this is for real. So they signed off, and then it got to the convention floor where it unanimously passed.
Well, Tim, thanks again. This is just very interesting and great news today. I look forward to speaking with you tomorrow to discuss that Flint vote as well that took place a few weeks ago.
Glad to be here, Chris, anytime, and happy to be able to share this wonderful news for everyone.
Thanks again, Tim. Tim Beck is the director of Michigan Normal. They can be found online at minorml.org. Tune in tomorrow for our Government at Work segment, where we'll discuss the Flint, Michigan vote. Next up on the Audio Stash today, we got some great podshow.com music. More G-Love, the guy behind G-Love and Special Sauce. This is G-Love Alone Acoustic with this track, Mother.
You're breaking down my mother. Whoa, please don't move that tree. See, cause you break down my mother. What's the use? Well, these won't be back like the breeze. Stop breaking down my mother. Oh, that trash don't make sense. See, you break down my mother. What you set up comes down. It's a cycle that's round. But all the weeds ain't grown this ground. That's a natural fact. And indeed, it will pass. As you can see, it did not last. Why you breaking down my mother? You're breaking down my mother. You break down my mother. Who's breaking down my mother? You're breaking down my mother. You broke down my mother. Why you breaking down, boy? I said you're breaking her down. You break down. You break down my mother. You broke down. Why you gotta let that water run? You're breaking down my mother. How come a million and tell and a million bumps? Stop breaking her down. Stop breaking her down. Thank you. It's time to jump out your bomb. You break down my mother. What you spray on the leaves? Get my bird disease. You're breaking out my mother. Whoa, what you gonna do with all this waste? You can't bury it about it, please. Cause I was in the mother, don't last me. Race name, family, creative innovation. I'm playing exploitation. Why you breaking down my mother? You break down my mother. You break down my mother. Who's breaking down my mother? You're breaking out my mother. You break down my mother. Why you break it down? You break it out, you break down, you broke down my mother, you broke down my mother, you broke down my mother, you broke down my mother. Why you gotta talk to work every morning? You break it down my mother. Isn't global warming enough of a warning? Stop breaking down my mother. Do you think you can save this? The idea warning. Stop breaking down, stop breaking it down. Oh man, thank you, please. No needles in my seat. Breaking down my mother. All slogans and slogans, but facts are facts. While we eat our birds, the third world breaks back about humanity and the human struggle. We can't live without the jungle. Why you breaking down my mother? You break down my mother. You break down my mother. Who's breaking down my mother? You break down my mother. You break down my mother. Why you break it down, boy? You broken it down. You break down. You break down my mother. You break down my mother. What you eat? What you put on your feet? What you wear in your hair? What about the air? Gas, fuel, automobiles, something drives us tradition, and so is air conditioning. Cold, gold, diamonds, and steel. I have a feeling we're in no position to use with these. Bring the mother to an end. She gave us life. Huh, we're the disease. Why you breaking down my mother? Breaking out my mother. You're breaking out my mother. Who's breaking down my mother? You're breaking out my mother. You break down my mother. Why you breaking down, boy? I said you broken it down. You break down. You break down my mother. You broke down my mother. You broke down my mother. You broke down my mother.
G-Love here at Normal's Daily Audio Stash. That track came from podshow.com. Next up on the Audio Stash today, we're going to talk more about the Office of National Drug Control Policy Summit on student drug testing that took place last week. There were a number of policy reform advocates in attendance there as well. Jenny Kern is with the Drug Policy Alliance Drug Testing Fails Project, and she attended a number of these conferences in the past. Jenny was there in Newark along with Marriott Six from High Times magazine and representatives from Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Jenny joins us today for another look at the summit and why drug testing students is not effective as a deterrent for students' abuse of prescription drugs, illicit substances, steroids, or alcohol. We have links to the Drug Testing Fails website at normalaudiostash.com. Jenny, welcome back to the program again today.
Thanks, Chris, for having me again.
Great to have you back. So, overall, Jenny, tell me about your impression of this taxpayer-funded event last week.
Well, I thought that it was great that we got the information out there to educators. There were quite a few educators who were looking for, you know, the other side of the story, were interested in our information. At the same time, the ONDCP was really trying very hard to control the message. They were, you know, trying to shoo us away from media and interrupt our conversations with educators. So, you know, it's an uphill battle.
Jenny, let's talk more about that media situation. The media that were there were kept back away from the main conference and presentation area.
Yeah, that's correct. They had a space upstairs for the media, and they really tried to tightly control it. I went up there. We had a parent there from New Jersey who could only be there in the morning, and I really wanted the media to get to speak to him and get the local perspective. And we went up there, and, you know, they were very confrontational and said, you know, you can't be in this area. You're not allowed. You have to leave now. And later we were able to meet with media outside, actually outside the hotel, and they weren't too impressed by the ONDCP trying to deter free speech in that way. It didn't go over well.
Yeah, that rarely goes over well with reporters. Now, this summit showed off some of the most visible faces of prohibition out there, folks who have really been some of the main opponents to marijuana in particular, people like Dr. Bertha Madras and Attorney David Evans. So this was the first time I've ever seen these folks and their contradiction-filled presentations, but did you see anything new from them, or is this their kind of standard shtick?
Dr. Madras did kind of take a slightly different approach. She tried to really make this more scientific by showing charts and brain scans and things like that. But the message really was the same message as always, like their same standard speech. And David Evans really kind of lashed out with some attacks at the Drug Policy Alliance and Normal and others. And so that kind of defensive mode really, you know, continued to kick in. I think there actually has been a change in their messaging over the last few years. And they really changed from describing this as a silver bullet solution to, I heard the phrase, a tool in a toolkit. And, you know, they really tried to sugarcoat this as much as possible to be about loving students and embracing students and really tried to sugarcoat this very invasive policy. I also thought it was really interesting that they've dropped the research section of these programs. They used to have someone come in and talk about the research in favor of random drug testing, and they've dropped that section, and I don't know whether it's because the research is so weak they think it's a bad argument for them, or because the research is so unimportant to them. It's really an ideological, viewpoint that they're using to promote this policy, and that, you know, even David Evans said, you know, he doesn't know numbers, but he brought up his own study he did. He's a lawyer. He's not a researcher. So I thought that was interesting.
Jenny, I was struck last week by how little real data was presented. I heard a lot more personal opinion. That is surprising for this program that seeks to collect the bodily fluids of teenagers across the country with our federal tax dollars.
Yeah, I was pretty explicit. I was a little surprised by how much they were, you know, not owning up, but, you know, really saying, you know, I don't have the data to back this up, but that was a phrase I heard a few times.
I was also surprised to see the sort of cliche demonization of marijuana. I mean, folks out there, really, that reefer madness mentality still exists some places, I guess, but that demonization they do of marijuana, I think that's really hurting kids.
One of the real downfalls of the policy is that you can actually be unintentionally guiding students towards more harmful behavior, including harder drugs, but also alcohol is a main drug of concern that, you know, it leads to more binge drinking.
Last week, the catchphrase was a lot on this protecting kids theme. So, Jenny, rather than scare people into drug testing, how can we realistically protect kids out there?
Well, first of all, I just thought it was really interesting that they dismissed people who are most in need of help. They were very explicit that we're not trying to help those, you know, those students at school who are the ones in most need of help. This policy isn't directed towards them and won't help them. And they were very explicit about, you know, maybe they're, you know, to be written off, or, you know, this policy will not help them, and owned up to that. The Drug Policy Alliance has a program for educators in schools called Beyond Zero Tolerance, and it is all about keeping students safe, and it's about interactive drug education. It's about, you know, science-based information. It's about more support and more counselors in school, and restorative principles, which are based on, instead of just kicking students out of school, how do you bring them back in? And my large concern with this policy, when they kept saying it's about protecting children, those scare stories they use, those are the students who wouldn't have been helped by this policy. Those are the students who would have suffered under this policy. They would have been further marginalized. They would have been less likely to reach out for help. You know, this policy will not help the students that they're evoking in their scare tactics.
And something that really crystallized for me last week was this vicious cycle happening right now in America with teenagers and marijuana. I mean, in New Jersey, if a kid tests positive during a school drug screen, they are mandated to be placed in treatment or counseling. I mean, this is just for testing positive for marijuana once. That kind of test doesn't say anything if the person smoked marijuana beyond one time. But because these teens who are caught by schools smoking pot must be put into treatment, it's keeping people who are addicted to hard drugs out of treatment by filling the spaces. And worse, I think this is what's inflating that number of teens in treatment for marijuana, almost like a mandatory minimum treatment sentence for teens out there.
Yeah, I would definitely, you know, I would say that's definitely a factor. I also thought it was interesting in these terms that urban school districts and school districts, you know, in areas perhaps where they're more in need of help, have largely rejected this policy, and that it's really the more affluent bedroom communities that have embraced it, and that, you know, perhaps, you know, communities where they're used to seeing, you know, people getting arrested or in trouble for these things are more likely to reject it because they see how counterproductive it can be, and that for things like, you know, marijuana, you know, their children are the ones who are suffering, you know, arrest for this or real consequences. And I thought that was an interesting point as well.
And Jenny, at these events, you often get to interact with school administrators. Tell us about some of those interactions last week in Newark.
Well, they wanted, you know, they were looking for basic information. A lot of them, you know, didn't know that much about the policy, had just heard about it. I had some educators who just lit up when they, you know, when they heard, you know, heard us speaking about, you know, our viewpoint and said, you know, this is really important. We need to know this. And so, you know, they wanted to know about the potential harms. They wanted to know about, you know, how it plays out on the ground. They wanted to know, you know, the other side of the story, because the presentations, they're so one-sided that, you know, people, you know, they're looking for more information, and they were really grateful for it.
Something that also seemed very odd to me was that the speakers kept saying how dirt cheap drug testing is. But the whole point of the summit is to offer $150,000 per school in our federal tax dollars to do this type of testing.
Yeah, I'm always struck by their attempt to make it sound very inexpensive. You know, according to Robert DuPont, one of his studies, who is a large proponent of drug testing, the average drug test costs $42 per test. And so if you're taking a high school and you're testing 500 students, that's $21,000. And they're, you know, they're quoting $2,000. And, you know, the quality of tests they're using, if they're using tests that are that inexpensive, you know, it's a large issue. I'm always struck by their attempts to make it sound so inexpensive, given newspaper article after newspaper article where schools are spending $20,000, $60,000. They're giving away, as you said, you know, grants upwards of $100,000.
The speakers did mention steroids a few times, but if you do the least expensive 5-panel drug screen, Jenny, That won't show steroids at all, will it?
That's very true. Steroids tests cost between $100 and $150, if not more. They're very expensive. And so New Jersey is one of the few states that does have steroid testing, but it's only for our students who are in championships. And that money would be so much more spent on proven programs that educate students about steroids, that, you know, give them information about nutrition and alternative ways to meet their goals, and that have really been shown to be effective, versus just testing a very few students when they can cycle on and cycle off of the steroids, so they could, you know, just cycle off when they're at the championships. I don't see how the policy, you know, could be very effective.
And Jenny, I looked up how much the ONDCP was able to give away last year for these random drug testing programs, and it was only about half of their budget allotment. So this is really, in the end, a very tough sell to schools.
Yeah, the minority of schools in the country are testing. And, you know, it's only between, you know, 3 and 5%. The federal government has been pushing this very hard and with enticements of federal funding. But a lot of times, you know, parents stand up, communities stand up. A lot of, you know, school boards, they look at the information and have a debate and have decided that this is not an appropriate policy. So this really, while it's in the news and while it's out there, it's definitely the minority of school districts that are engaging in this policy.
And before there is a drug testing program at a school, there's usually a parent or school board meeting on the topic. And Jenny, if parents want to oppose such a proposed policy at their school, can they get groups like the Drug Policy Alliance involved?
Most definitely. We have a website, which is www.drugtestingfails.org, and it's full of information directed at parents and educators to equip them with the tools to fight this policy in their local school districts. And we have an educational booklet called Making Sense of Student Drug Testing, Why Educators Are Saying No, and it's just packed with all the information you need. It's a great resource. You know, we're always available to talk to parents, and we've done that in the past. And the parent who was at the summit today, we got in contact with because he had used our materials from the website to help him defeat the policy at his school, which is always so rewarding to hear that they are being used.
Also, Jenny, something I was surprised to find out at this conference was just how draconian the policy and laws are, specifically in New Jersey, a place largely considered to be a blue liberal state. So as someone who's been an observer of these state laws, have you seen anywhere as conservative as the laws are really as New Jersey right now?
New Jersey is definitely the state where the largest proponents of drug testing are located. That it's the state definitely with the most interest. And as we heard yesterday, they've passed all kinds of laws in New Jersey which are somewhat intimidating about, you know, stripping parents of their rights, stripping students of their rights. You know, some other states are also going out of bounds as well. Kansas doesn't have much drug testing, but there's one school in Kansas where if you want to even attend a school play, you must agree to participate in the program. And that program is likely outside the law. But, you know, Texas as well is a state that also has really embraced this policy. Other states, you know, don't have a single drug testing program in them.
Also, there seemed to be a very concerted effort on the part of the speakers to bash the ACLU, almost this fear, this paranoid fear of civil liberties on the part of the speakers.
I think that they see the ACLU as being a powerful organization, which they are. The ACLU, you know, was deeply involved in challenging drug testing, you know, throughout the country and still are. The ACLU of Washington is still appealing a decision there about, you know, the constitutional protections of the Washington state constitution. In Pennsylvania, they were the most successful in getting an undecisive decision from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that said drug testing is likely to be unconstitutional, but it was never completely resolved, as unfortunately the case was dropped. But I do think you're right. They see the ACLU as a nuisance. They see, you know, the civil liberties argument as being, you know, naive or misguided. And it is disturbing to, you know, have a powerful government agency, you know, thumb their nose at civil liberties in such a way.
Well, Jenny, I want to thank you again for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Jenny Kern is with the Drug Policy Alliance Drug Testing Fails program. Jenny, thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for Chris, and it was wonderful you were able to make the summit.
We have links to the Drug Testing Fails program on our website today, as well as information about drug testing from Normal. Just visit normalaudiostash.com. Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about everyday's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.